Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New York Giants training camp enters the dual practice area. I'm extremely excited because now we really get to see what is and what is not true about this team. It is a great opportunity versus a great opponent. I'm looking forward to it. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I've got a giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of A Giant Issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. New York Giants on SI YouTube channel, the New York Giants on SI on website where you can get all of your Giants information. Make sure you check out all of my good, great, and uglies that I've been doing over there all summer. I've got a couple more that should be dropping here soon. I'm excited because the New York Giants get an opportunity to go against the Detroit Lions in what should be a spirited 2 days of joint practices, right? We know that the most likely whenever we get joint practices, it means that we're probably not going to see starters or guys who are getting significant minutes in the actual preseason game. So what we see or what comes out of these 2 days of practices should tell us a lot about what we should expect from this Giants team this year right now. There's a couple things that are really going to be things that I'm looking for, right? And the first one is the offensive line and how it is maneuvered. Now, a couple things I wanted to address about the offensive line that I've heard people saying. I keep hearing people talk about the fact that Van Rutten is playing center, right? And myself, as well as other people, thought that he was signed to be a guard. But what if he was never signed to be a guard? What if the idea behind signing Van Rutten was so that, or Van Rutten, excuse me, was so that he could be that guy who could play center and or guard as a backup, right? Because again, as much as you people want Jermaine Illuminor to be a right tackle, he was signed to play guard. So when Evan Neal comes back, he goes back to guard. JMS comes back from injury. Van Rutten becomes now the guy who can spell all three interior positions, right? And therefore makes the offense better, because the offensive line stronger because of it. You have a guy who is a starting caliber player who's able to be in not only the center position, but the guard position as well. So what I'm looking for out of these two practices on the offensive line I am specifically looking to see the improvements on the interior. All of you guys can sit there and look at offensive tackle and tell me that you're looking at how Illuminor plays at tackle. But to me, that's not really the biggest concern because, as you all know, I don't believe that Evan Neal was as bad as many of you out there think he was. What I'm looking for is, what does that interior protection look like? Can Van Roten be good enough inside along with the other people that they have playing guards, right, to hold up inside? When JMS comes back, is JMS with whomever's playing those guard positions, right? Is it going to be an upgrade over what we saw last year, which was absolutely horrible? Like, the interior of the offensive line is the number one reason that the offense did not click, and we don't talk about it enough. We only want to blame Neal because he called you kitchen workers, right? But the truth is, the interior of the line was the issue. They addressed the interior of the line by bringing in free agents. Okay, I want to see that interior line hold up versus what is sure to be a formidable interior defensive line from the Detroit Lions. So that's one of the things that I am looking for. Now, on top of that, I want to see how Daniel Jones operates behind the offensive line. I'm going to tell you what I've seen so far out of Daniel Jones that I like. He's pushing the ball down the field. You want him to push the ball down the field? Guess what? He's pushing the ball down the field. Like, he's making a more conscious effort to drive it deep, to give his big play receivers the opportunity to make big plays. You got to love it. You've got to like that for him. You got to appreciate the fact that he's doing that more. Here's the problem. His timing, his rhythm on throwing the deep ball is bad. There's really no other way to say it. Like, right now, he doesn't release on time. He doesn't really do anything on the time and the rhythm that you would want somebody throwing a deep ball to throw it on. He has to continue to get better at that. And like I told you before, I want to give him the latitude to get better at that because it's something he hasn't been asked to do. So I am willing to give him the time to get better at that, right? But he needs to get better at it. And it needs to start here in Detroit, because one of the best ways to help your offensive line be more productive is to not put them in a position where they have to protect for three and four seconds. If you get to your drop and you let the ball go when you're supposed to let the ball go, then you have the opportunity to then, you know, get the ball out before the defensive lineman can get to you. That's important. So I want to see how he operates. I want to see how he manipulates the pocket. I want to see him getting rid of the ball on time and not holding the ball longer, waiting for people to get open. I want to see him throwing people open. I've seen him throw some really awesome. I've seen him throw some really awesome passes where he was using timing and anticipation. I've already told you how much I believe that his short and intermediate accuracy is some of the best out there, right? That's not his issue. So I want to see the timing get better. I want to see him be able to operate and have the comfort that you would want a guy going into year six to have, right? I want to see the poise that you would want somebody that's going into year six to have as a quarterback. The things that you kind of want a quarterback to come out of college with, right? Poise and anticipation and all that other stuff. Like, we're asking collegiates to come out of people to come out of college with those traits. So I want to see Daniel Jones operating at that level. If he's not operating at that level, to me, that says a lot, right? That says, He still isn't confident. He still isn't trusting. He still isn't processing. He still is a step behind where I would want to see people in that same position. So that'll be interesting to see. Now, with that, I want to see the defensive line and how they perform versus one of the better offensive lines in the league, right? We've seen a lot of highlights or a lot of clips come out of practice, and we've seen good protection, right? So now I want to know if the good protection that we're seeing is just because people aren't taking videos or posting videos of the defensive line dominating the offensive line, right? But now I want to see this defensive line. I want to see the Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau connection unleashed. I want to see Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau be able to get after the quarterback like the Lions are going to have Hutchins and Houston or whoever they have on the other side getting after the quarterback. I want to see who ends up alongside or next to Dexter Lawrence when they go with that front. I don't want to see Kayvon Thibodeau or Brian Burns. I don't want to see either one of those guys in coverage. I don't need to know what they are like in coverage because they should never be in coverage. If they're in coverage, it tells me that Shane Bowen has not learned his lesson from the failures that he had in Tennessee. He is not the defensive coordinator at Tennessee that had the major success. That guy moved on. He's the guy that took over for the guy that had the major success. So I want to see if he's learned anything from what he did with the Titans, where I believed the Giants were getting somebody who would not drop their best pass rush assets into coverage and who has already shown he's not only willing to drop them, but he's willing to line them up and just have them play in the slot like they're a nickelback or something, right? So I want to see that defensive line get unleashed. I want to see how they handle what is, like I said earlier, one of the more quality offensive lines in the NFL. That's going to be a fun thing to watch, right? I want to watch the linebackers because if there's one thing I can take away from last year is that Bobby Okereke was the only sure tackler we had in the linebacking corps. Isaiah Simmons missed tackles. Micah McFadden missed a ton of tackles, right? The other guys, I don't think, got enough snaps to really be, assessed in that manner. So now I want to see what these linebackers look like when they have to tackle people. These are shifty backs. These are tough backs, right? Montgomery's tough. Gibbs is tough. He's shifty. He's fast. I want to see the improvements that this linebacking corps has made in order to be able to handle making tackles, because they're going to have the opportunity to make a lot of tackles because you have to pay attention to the front four, right? So if you have to pay attention to the front four, there's no reason why we shouldn't get these guys going and making unabated tackles. But it's going to depend on how they get to bring those guys down. The problem wasn't the fact that they couldn't get to the line, to the ball carrier. The problem for the linebacking corps as a whole, not Bobby Okereke, but everyone else, was getting the ball carrier down. And so I want to see them tackle better in positions where they have a chance to tackle. Here's the fun part, right? We have seen this wide receiving core dominate the defensive backfield all training camp. We've talked about Malik Nabers being unguardable, and how Wandale Robinson looks bigger and stronger and how Jalin Hyatt seems to be coming into his own, right? We've talked about all of these things, and we've also said that the defensive backs were having issues, that the defensive backfield was a problem. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'll break it down to you. I want to see this wide receiver core versus a really good, really talented, really athletic Detroit Lions secondary, right? Who's going to guard Malik Nabers? Is Malik Nabers going to do them how he's been doing to Deontay Banks, where he's been able to just get far enough separation that he can pluck and haul in whatever pass gets thrown to him? Like, I want to see if his level of dominance that he's shown over the first couple of weeks of training camp, I want to see if that dominance continues to move forward playing another team. Because if it does, it bodes well for him and what he's got going on as a Giant.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It means that Giants fans have the guy that they've been wanting to get, right? I want to see how Wandale is used versus other teams. I want to see if they start showing some of the dynamics that they showed with Wandale last year versus other teams, right? I want to see him be able to hold up and be tougher when physicality is around him than maybe he did last year, right? When he gets bumped off of things or when he gets, you know, held and tackled, like, how is he holding up? Like, it's not scary, right? Because we know he's not scared. We want to see how he holds up in those situations. So that's going to be important for me as I watch. I want to see Jalin Hyatt run the tree. I don't want to just see him catching deep balls or catching balls with him down the field. I want to see him running various routes and getting open. And then I want to see how they're using Darius Slayton. I think this might be purposeful by the people who are taking clips, and you just haven't seen a lot of Darius Slayton. So there's two reasons for this. Either people are just not recording the Darius Slayton plays that he's making, or Darius Slayton's not getting opportunities to make plays, right? It's one of those two. Because we know if Darius Slayton is getting opportunities to make plays, he's going to make plays. He's done it his entire career. Unlike, you know, Daniel Jones, who has been up and down in his career, Darius Slayton has only ascended, right? Even with the drop issues that people said he had earlier on, his catch percentage has improved steadily, right? His one bad season, if you want to call it a bad season, was because he was injured and out. But he has 4 years of quality, consistent play where his catch percentage has gone up, right? So I want to see if he has just not been making plays because nobody's showing it, or if he's not making plays because he's not getting the opportunity to do so. And if he's not getting the opportunity to do so, then that might signal what we all think is the beginning of the end of him in New York. It might be happening sooner rather than later, right? But if it is, then who's the next ones? I want to see how the Isaiahs are doing, right? Hodgins, McKenzie. I want to see how the youngins are doing, Ayer Asante, right? Like, I want to see how all of these talents that the Giants have at wide receiver perform and function against an opponent that they don't see every single day and know their tendencies and where they can get them. I want to see how they do fresh, because I think if they come out of these two practices and they look dominant, then those twos and threes and fours look dominant in preseason versus it's going to say a lot about this receiving core, and it's all good. All the things that it's going to say is going to be positive things. So I'm excited to see how that unit performs versus another. On the flip side, the Detroit Lions have a really, really explosive and formidable receiving core. So it's a perfect test for this Giants defense, right? The Giants have some cap room. There are legitimate starting cornerbacks on the market right now. So these two days of practice and into the preseason game will go a long way in telling me, and hopefully telling the Giants front office, hey, we need to add somebody, not just some old veteran that's not going. We need to add a legitimate starter at cornerback. Or it's going to say, oh, we're good. Like, they're young, they're inexperienced, but we're good. I want to see it. I want to see Deontay Banks, right, go against the best guys over there, right? I want to see him go against Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? I want to see that matchup. I want to see how he deals with him. St. Brown, a guy who can hurt you from outside and inside. I want to see him deal with that. I want to see Cordell Flott have to deal with a Jameson Williams, a speedster, and how he can stay with them. I want to see Nick McCloud continue to just be Johnny on the spot. Like, is it just the Giants that he can do this against? Or is it another team? I want to see Jason Pinnock and how he is progressing, right? I want to see Tyler Newbin. I want to see Tyler Newbin, and I want to see if he can be a playmaker in the secondary versus another team. I want to see Isaiah Simmons playing that nickel and that star position that they're talking about, right? The nickel and the money position that they're talking about. I want to see how that looks against another team. And when we get a chance to see them explore these different matchups with really, really good receivers and tight ends, I think it will tell us whether or not we should be panicking like some people have been doing, right? I've heard a lot of chatter. Oh my gosh, I'm really concerned with our secondary. I've heard a lot of chatter. Oh, our secondary is in trouble. I've heard a lot of chatter. Oh, we may need to sign somebody in the secondary. Oh my gosh, this person looks lost. Oh my gosh, this person doesn't seem to like be good. He's bad. He's this. You guys know what you do. It's doom and gloom all the time, right? So I want to see if the doom and gloom is warranted. And if so, I want to see what the Giants do. Because you can't just stand pat. You can't just stand pat. As much as nobody would want to say it, this Giants coaching staff and front office will feel pressure to win now. They will feel pressure to get wins now. Because if they don't, they might not get another opportunity. Excuse me. I think what Joe Shane did this offseason doesn't necessarily jive with what Mara wanted done all the way. And that he might hold that against him if this season is a disaster. I believe that if this season is a disaster, Brian Daboll, his head might be on the chopping block because of the way things have ended or the way he's handled things with his offensive coordinator and with his defensive coordinator. He essentially, right? No one talks about it, but he essentially threw the offensive and defensive coordinator under the bus for the way that last season went. He made it seem as if it was Kafka's fault that the offense wasn't as productive as it should be. He made it seem as if, even though like Wink decided to move on, right? And that was a part of it. He made it seem, and even on Hard Knocks alluded to it, he made it seem as if Wink wasn't doing his job as a defensive coordinator. And meanwhile, Wink leaves and he upgrades and gets one of the best young pass rushers that he could get traded for, right? Like, that's the crazy part. You make the team better after the people who were in place that were riding with you were there. I think it would have been great for Saquon Barkley to run behind what should be an improved offensive line, right? But I digress. But I want to see it because the pressure is on. And so they won't just be able to stand pat and say, oh, well, we'll just live with these cornerbacks being like below mediocre if they're below mediocre. But if they're not, right? And here's the positive. If they're not, then you've got a young nucleus of defensive backs all over the place that will get an opportunity to grow together for the next 4 to 5 years. Like, that's fantastic. And because you don't value safeties the way you need to value them, you've got a few safeties that are on rookie contracts. So when their rookie contracts are done, you can just rinse, wash, repeat them the way you rinse, wash, repeated Julian Love and Xavier McKinney. So don't expect any safeties to ever get any big deals from the Giants because clearly that's not where they believe they should spend their money at. Not for nothing, if you're not going to pay Xavier McKinney, you're probably not going to pay anybody, right? If you're not going to pay a guy who has the opportunity to be one of the best safeties in the league, you're not going to pay any safety. So enjoy Jason Pinnock while he's on whatever contract he's on. Enjoy Dane Belton while he's on his rookie deal. enjoy Tyler Newbin while he's on his rookie deal, Nick McCloud, whatever he's getting paid, because once they want actual real legitimate money, the Giants are probably not going to pay him. And the moment they do pay them, when they did not pay Xavier McKinney or Julian Love, two of the best safeties in the league, we're going to have questions. I know I will. I'll have serious questions, right? Because I have a theory that I've talked about before on why they didn't pay him, but I'll leave that theory for right now because I'm excited to see what this young defensive back group does versus a really good, formidable Lions wide receiving core and quarterbacks, right? Like can't forget that. And the quarterbacks that's throwing them the ball. It's an exciting time. We're getting closer. We're going to get a preseason game this week. That is cause for celebration. That is cause for excitement. You should be excited. I'm excited. Everybody should be excited. I know the Giants themselves are excited, right? Football is back. Football is kicking in to high gear, and I just can't wait to experience it. That's all the time I have for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me as always. New York Giants on SI. Make sure that you go there for all of your Giants needs. Check out all the information that we drop on New York Giants on SI on a daily basis. Make sure that you subscribe to the New York Giant on SI YouTube channel. We're trying to get to 2,000 before game one, right? Before game one, we want to be at 2,000 subscribers. If you're listening, make sure that you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemons, and I've got a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.